Welcome to Nerdy Thursday. Ah, it's so good.
The world was big and cruel, and cold and gray and sad. But Nerdy Thursday came up and made everybody glad. Because after that they had a whole lot more stuff to do with their minds. And they left the gray old square world behind. Nerdy Thursday, you're the man, I hope you'll be my friend.
Welcome everybody to Nerdy Thursday. We're your two hosts, Sean and Mitch, and we're just a couple of guys who like beer, games, and nerd culture in general. My name is Sean, and with me, as always, is Mitch. Never mind, it's just me. Sorry, guys. So, I just want to clear this up real quick and let you guys know that this is obviously not what we had planned for this week. We actually had planned to record our top five pet peeves in gaming. So, ideally, that's probably what we're going to be doing next week. So, as a heads up, if you guys want to call in with some of your pet peeves, please do. Go ahead, give us a call at 413-418-0076 in the next couple of days so we can go ahead and get that on that show. With that being said, I know we have some voicemails, but I'm not going to take them right now just because I want Mitch here to be here for that. Now, you guys did hear me open up a beer, and yes, I will drink this beer by myself while talking to you guys. That's okay. So the beer that I opened today is a beer that I think that we've talked about before, and I said I was only saving it for special occasions, but I feel like today is one of those. So I popped open a Dutch Courage coming out of Mayflower. It's part of their brewery release series, meaning you can only get it if you go to the brewery. And I don't remember what percentage it is. I think it's like 5.4, but it's the Gin Botanical Gruit, where it's brewed with a bunch of different things that they put in gin when they make that. So it has a super unique taste, and I don't remember what I gave it, but it tastes right now at about a 4. I put that at a 4. I don't know where I put it last time, but it's really good, and it's hitting the spot right now. Now, this is going to be a shorter episode, and for those at home, please keep track of how many times I say now, because I feel like it's going to be about 40, because I've already caught myself about 4 times. So, anyways, I digress. I saw it today, guys. So, I'm recording Thursday night. It comes out tomorrow, but as I'm sure a lot of you know, a lot of theaters do like night before showings of big movies, and I was able to go to one tonight. Because there's no way I was waiting to see this. Like, this was an opening night movie for me. Now, I just want to break this movie down into a couple different parts, give you an overall rating, and, you know, let you be the judge. I won't spoil anything. Hopefully, in about 2 weeks, we'll give you guys enough time to have seen it. In about 2 weeks, hopefully maybe Mitch and I can both talk about it because I know he's seeing it in a couple of days. So, to start things off, I really just wanted to chat about the casting in this movie. The casting in this movie was amazing. Now, don't expect me, those at home, that was another now. Now, don't expect me to be able to remember like the actors' names and stuff like that, because I really honestly don't know any of them. Even like I'm having a hard time remembering the that Swedish actor that plays Pennywise's name. Maybe it's Bill Skarsgård, something like that. I don't know. His Pennywise was amazing. Like, for anybody that was worrying about, you know, going from Tim Curry to this new guy, I'm just going to say his name is Bill. I've heard Bill enough for the last 2 hours that it's just in my mind. So this Bill guy who's playing Pennywise absolutely knocks it out of the park. Now, I had read a couple of things that he was training with like a contortionist. He can actually physically move his eyeballs in different directions on his own, and you really see a lot of that come into play in this movie, and it's brilliant. A lot of the jumps and scares and stuff like that that's in this movie are really well done. There's not a lot of jump scares. It's a lot of, you know, playing with your mind, tension, you know, what's going to be coming up. much like you'd probably anticipate coming out of this movie. The casting of the kids was impeccable. The only one that I really recognized was the kid who played Richie, was the kid who wore glasses in Stranger Things. And he knocked it out of the park. It's really, you know, it's really refreshing to see a bunch of kids be able to take on roles and really be able to carry it through. Whether it be like an executive office or like producer's office being like, oh, they can't do that. Or, you know, parents being like, I don't want my kids doing this. It seems like everyone was super open to just letting this film being made. And it was just great. The flow, you know, the kids just hanging out together and the way they swore and the way that they looked at other people, like the way they looked at Bev and stuff like that. It really put me in a place where I'm like, man, okay, that's really what like being a kid was, you know, hanging out with your friends. So they were really, really amazing at being able to capture that. The tension with Henry and his gang with everybody was, you know, it was very real, very present throughout the whole movie. And that was really, really well played off. With a shift into 1989 as opposed to the 50s, it was really fun to see, you know, what each character wore as opposed to like my mind's eye of the book or having seen the movie tons of times. It was really fun to see that, like seeing Henry have a mullet, which is it was really cool. And I think that leads a lot to, you know, the art direction of this movie. They were brilliant in being able to encapsulate like a small town 1989 setting into this movie, and it was fantastic. Everything from whatever objects were in a room to movie posters, like something being shown, like they had a poster for Gremlins, and at one point you see a movie theater's playing Nightmare on Elm Street 5, and it's just like the little things, if you're able to catch them, really kind of puts you in that moment. So that's, in terms of the characters, like I said, I feel like everyone was hit right on the nose. The next part I wanted to touch on real quick was the story. Now, if you're like me and you've been, you know, a fan of the story and this mythos and just all of these characters in general, and you're just a big Stephen King fan, you know this story really well. They definitely took liberties. They changed a lot of stuff in here, but they kept the spirit of the movie alive. Now, if you're looking for like a scene for scene remake of the movie and the book, you're not gonna find it here. Like, you will be disappointed. If that's your barrier to entry for loving this movie, is that it's like a scene for scene remake, you're gonna hate this. And that breaks my heart to even say that phrase, because I can't see how anyone would hate this movie. But they did definitely change a lot of stuff around in here, and I think a lot of that had to do definitely with the new setting, but 100% for the fact that this was all around the kids. It's not like the movie and it's not like the book where it's flip-flopping between the two the whole time, where you can catch some flashbacks as adults or they talk about something that fills in gaps. They had to create the story that was all-encompassing, beginning to an end, involving these characters that can possibly set up a second movie that's going to involve the adults. There's not a part that happened in the things that changed that bothered me at all. Like, I loved every little bit. There's a lot of imagination and a lot of creativity. This director absolutely killed it. Absolutely killed it. But yeah, I guess there's not too much else I can talk about. The sound was great. The music. And yeah, and looking at my recording, it looks like I have a little bit of pops in here. So I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick. I just wanted to get something out to you guys before next week. You know, maybe it's a couple hours or a couple hours late, as this will be dropping on Thursday for a lot of people, Friday for most. So hopefully this will help point you in the direction of whether or not you're going to see this weekend. For me, personally, I would give this movie, out of a bowl of balloons, a 26. I would rate this in 26. I know I'm going to come back to this tons and tons and tons of times. But that's where I got to put it. And by golly, I know we talked about this eons ago, but in the first time we talked about it, we mentioned how Pennywise has got to be one of the best movie killers, villains, monsters in all of cinematic history. And it does not let down here. Really, 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 really recommend this movie. But with that, guys, before I start to sound like I'm rambling, I'm going to wrap it up. As always, I want to give a quick shout-out to cowabungabreakfast.bandcamp.com. He does our awesome theme song, The Invention of Nerdy Thursday. Brian, thank you for coming clutch with that We Suck logo for this week, because we suck. We should have had that one done and ready for you guys, but we suck. You heard me mention earlier, you can give us a call at 413-418-0076. Go ahead and give us a call about your biggest gaming pet peeves. Did you see It? Let us know what you think about It. Is there anything that you wish they did differently? I am dying to hear it, because I will talk about this movie, this story, this book for whoever wants to talk about it. I'll talk about it for as long as you want. You can find us on social media, guys. Pretty much anything, Nerdy Thursday. We are also on Patreon, if you want to go ahead and find us on there. For anyone who has donated or pledged to us recently, I don't have it pulled up in front of me. We'll thank you next week, but from me to you, thank you. That's awesome, and it means a lot to us. It really does. And guys, thank you so much for joining me and hanging out on this ridiculously late episode. But until next time, keep it nerdy.
In 1952, the world was a darker place. There were only 6 days in the week, not seven like we know today. And everybody walked around wearing clothes that were painted gray. And they were sad almost all the time. Yeah, they were. And back in 1952, there were 6 days in the week. You could never know which day was the one for you. But I do. In 1965, somebody became alive, and they had a great idea to make a brand new day. It was called Nerdy Thursday, and it was a day for all the people across the world who played D&D and Magic the Gathering and had LAN parties, and it was their very own day for them. The world was big and cruel, cold and gray and sad, but Nerdy Thursday came up and made everybody glad, because after that they had a whole lot more stuff to do with their minds, and they left the gray old square world behind. Nerdy Thursday, you're the man, I hope you'll be my friend.